Podcast and 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, November 3rd, 2017. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
It is full-on snowmageddon here in Calgary.
Like, it's funny that you said that term because I try not to use that term because it seems like it's overused now.
Oh, damn it. Can I take it back?
No.
Can we go back?
Snowmageddon.
It's Friday.
Guys.
Did I say October? Oh, this is a disaster. Oh, I'm getting killed
out
here.
You're stuck with it now.
At least I didn't call it the white stuff, right? A little bit of the white stuff out there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I brought shame upon my family. My mom and dad listen to this podcast, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm a piece of shit.
Really excited because ski and snowboard season kicks off this weekend. Originally, Norquay was saying, Nikiska was saying they're opening tomorrow. Now, Norquay is saying they're opening today. So today
is the official start.
The official start of the season today.
In honor of this, we thought we would bring you the top 10 people you see on the ski hill.
Oh, yes.
Should we jump into this?
Let's do it.
At number 10, Dieter, visiting from Germany with his family, is totally crap-talking you in German in the gondola.
Olivia, she's the child prodigy. She could snowboard before she could walk. She's hitting jumps at 3, and you purposely stay away from her because you can't admit that a 3-year-old is better than you.
Jeff. Jeff's been putting off school for another year to snowboard since 1998.
And at number 7, we've got Tyler. He's got the GoPro strapped to his helmet and a full camera crew with him, yet when you look to him to be impressed, he's still at the pizza phase. Not quite French fries yet.
Number 6, Derek. Derek was dragged here by his friends, even though he can't ski. This will be Derek's only run of the day.
And number 5, Jackson. The accident waiting to happen. Fresh out of ski school, thinks he's a pro, tucks and goes, completely out of control under the lift.
Number 4, Hannah. She's here from Australia on a work visa, and much to everyone's delight, Hannah thinks it's fun to ride in a bikini top when it's warm out.
That's me. Okay. Number 3, Molly. Molly and your family are in town from Vancouver. She's wearing better gear than the pros. It's brand new top-of-the-line stuff, but I'm not sure she knows how to use it.
Number 2, Terry. Wears an Oiler jersey and jeans, aviators instead of goggles, and no gloves so he can smoke darts more easily.
And number 1, Gord. Gord's brother Terry invited him out for a ski weekend, but he hasn't hit the slope since the 80s. Dusted off the old neon sun ice jacket, which still has every lift ticket he's ever had on it. Does this in the wind.
You guys missed a character, though.
Who do we miss?
You missed, we'll go with Nate.
Okay.
And he's got mad steez when he's shredding the gnar. And he drinks and smokes way too much on the mountain. And fucking hates skiers.
Yeah, we totally missed Nate.
How could we forget Nate?
Yeah.
Oh, so stupid.
Like, Nate is the one that gives all snowboarders a bad rap, hey?
Yeah.
But at the same time, he just hucks backs on the fucking... up in the pile.
He lives at Pano in a house in a tent on the floor because there isn't enough room for him. And he just shreds the pow in Pano.
He shreds the gnar, not the pow.
Oh, shit. Yeah, the gnar. I'm sorry.
Get your shit together, okay?
He hates skiers.
Sorry, Nate. How could I get that wrong?
What's your name?
Brandon.
Brandon.
But, you can call me Nate.
Okay.
Okay,
are you just describing yourself, Brandon?
Parts of that, not the whole thing.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
There is a girl at my gym who is, like, insanely fit. Like, one of the fittest bodies that you've ever seen on a person in real life.
Amazing.
And, like, she got full-on six-pack, the works. And I need to know if she's achieved this naturally through diet and hard work, or if there are some shenanigans going on there.
Hmm.
Shenanigans.
I always just assume that everybody is not doing shenanigans and that it's all achieved naturally, but there is definitely a group of people who like to, you know, take steroids or take things to up that. So I don't know. You can't really ask, though.
You can't ask.
No.
And I don't want to judge her.
No.
I just want to know if the body that she has is realistically possible.
Interesting.
Like, is that an attainable goal, or can you get to that level without cheating? You know? Because for some people, it's obvious. They're clearly on steroids. There are guys at my gym where it's like, well, you're obviously on steroids. Like, you have the hot dog skin and all that going on. And But for the in-betweeners, you know, I feel like, all right, can I get there just through hard work, or will I have to cheat?
I think you kind of have to give those people the benefit of the doubt and assume that they got that naturally. It's their livelihood. It's their life. They love to look that way, and they just eat very well and can achieve that.
You think so? I think you'd be surprised by the number of people who are on steroids.
That's upsetting. I don't want to think that.
I have a friend who played baseball in the States, and he said basically everybody in the NCAA is on steroids.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It was so funny.
I mean, I guess that'll make you feel better about yourself, knowing that.
But. He was too for a bit. He came home at Christmas from being away for school and for ball, and his mom took one look at him and started crying. He walked in the door from the airport, and she was like, because something was clearly going on. There's some shenanigans.
She knew that wasn't natural.
Yeah, yeah, because he got so big in the 6 months that he was gone.
Scream, cry, shenanigans.
Do you remember when we were talking about how in France they've added this law that any fashion ad has to have a disclaimer that it's been photoshopped, it's been digitally altered. Mm-hmm. This is not what this person actually looks like. And then we were talking about other people who should have to do that too.
Yeah.
Like if you own
a car that you can't afford and it's not paid off. That's one of them. Yeah,
you're up to your eyeballs in debt. You should have a sign on your car. That's
super
like,
nice car. I am super in debt and can't afford it though. So then I feel better.
So I want the same rule for people at the gym who are on steroids. Like if you're gonna walk around looking like that, then don't pretend that it's natural.
Yeah, that's right. That's fair. So they're lifting shenanigans.
Yes, after every set, they should have to yell out shenanigans.
Oh, shenanigans!
Well, I work at a gym, and when I first started, I thought like that it was the once in a blue moon, like nobody used them. But I've been working there for about 5 years now, and it is a lot more common than I thought. People talk about it all the time. I'm like cleaning some stuff, or I'm showing somebody how to use a machine, and then they just start talking about it. They have like their own little weird dialogue for it. So I know exactly what they're talking about, and it just, it started off like I was like, oh, that's weird. I didn't know that. I didn't think that that was happening. And then I just kept hearing it, and everybody talks about it, and it's really concerning to me personally.
When you say they have their own dialogue, what kind of terms do they use?
Oh, I'm trying to think now. To be honest, I think they make it up on the spot sometimes. Like they say, juice is a big one, which I sound really cheesy, but a lot of people do, and it's the cheesy ones that use it.
Do you guys, at your gym, do you have a used needle drop box in the bathrooms?
Not yet. We haven't been talking about it too much, to be honest.
Jesus.
Which I think is something that should probably happen. We're a family gym. We're focused on family, not just on our fitness center.
Oh, okay.
So I think it hasn't been brought to everybody's attention about how big of a problem it is.
Does your gym have a used needles drop box in it?
Yeah, and I'm sure they would say it's for diabetic users. Yeah, but it's definitely there. And I want to be clear that I'm not like casting judgment on anybody who chooses to do that. It is illegal, but it's your body, your choice, I kind of think. But
I'm just concerned about the aftermath, because you see people who are steroid users and then you see what happens later. And it's like, well, are you thinking about that? Like, you're doing this just to look good right now. And then you're going to have to deal with a whole bunch of consequences later. Although, I don't know, maybe steroids are safer than I thought they were.
I don't know. It depends. Maybe if you're doing it under the supervision of a doctor, or if you're just buying it from some guy's fanny pack at the gym, it's probably not the best way to do it. But
I've got the stuff.
I've got the juice, man.
I've got the juice.
Yeah, and I think at that point, it's just like it's 100% vanity, right?
Yeah.
How many people would be taking steroids to advance their career? Very few.
Yeah.
Like pro wrestlers and athletes, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's almost an unhealthy obsession at that point, right? Because you're doing it just to look that way.
It's but it kind of sucks. Like for me, I'm in the gym every single day, working as hard as I can, and you look beside you, and there's a guy who's twice as big as you still. You're like, how do you do that?
Well, then you're turning into that vanity thing then, because you're like, I have to be the biggest here, and he's bigger than me.
But I haven't started taking steroids, so.
Well, don't do that. Yeah, no. That's your next step, though. And it's like, well, I'm good, because I can do this naturally, whereas that guy's using something else.
I guess so.
So, you look good, Beckler. You just need to work on your legs a little more, okay? Those are the ones that, I mean, if you could just...
Do they sell, like, just leg steroids?
I was just going to say, maybe you need...
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Shauna, did you know that people often think that I take steroids? but I don't. They always say, hey, are you on steroids? And I say, no, I'm not. It's just all natural.
That doesn't happen. Okay. Like, don't kid yourself here.
We woke up to the funniest Twitter exchange this morning. We have a friend who's a food critic. Mm-hmm. He writes for, I think, the Globe and Mail, the Food Network.
Yeah, he has his own like blog, which has become a much bigger thing now. Like, he travels all over. All he does is travel and write about food. So he's really established now.
Recently, he wrote this review of a place in Banff.
Yeah.
And where was it? Canmore? I forget.
It was west of the city here, one of those.
It was in the mountains. Yes. And it was, he shredded them pretty good in the review. Like, he was not very impressed with this place.
Yeah, I remember reading the review and being like, wow, that is definitely the harshest food review I've ever read.
I've never seen him write, for sure. Yeah. And then today, another radio station in town tweeted at him, and it said, remember that vitriolic piece of tripe you served to this restaurant in Canmore? It was Canmore. He just won gold medal plates in YYC. Don't choke. This was anonymously sent from another radio station in town. Unprovoked. Unprovoked.
Okay, first of all, it's not anonymous when it's your station account. Not to mention, you have to represent your station. Like, what a thing to say on a station Twitter page.
Well, we always sign our tweets because there are how many people that use our Twitter account? Like a dozen?
Yeah.
So you want to know exactly who you're talking to. In this case, we don't.
This killed me, though, because it's obviously someone who works at the station. Like, so it's narrowed down to a few minimal people.
And is obviously a friend of the person who runs this restaurant.
Absolutely.
Our friend.
Yes.
Tore apart.
They had a few drinks last night. They're just like, I'll show you.
I'm going to let him know.
Send it
I'm going to let them know.
Station page. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my God.
And maybe they forgot that they were on their station's Twitter account.
Yeah.
I've done that before. I've liked tweets from the X account. Like, ah, crap. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, whatever.
So,
as long as it's not like a porn account.
Like, no, like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz up late liking porn on Twitter. And then he said it was one of his aides, right? One of his advisors. It's like, well, I hope it was, because poor Teddy. That sucks.
You know what? You're allowed to like the odd friggin' porn Twitter account, I think. Like, I don't see what... It's only
even
natural.
From your official Ted Cruz account.
I mean, maybe you should be a little more careful, but honestly, everyone's human, you know?
Ted's just having a pull late at night. Bump that button.
Everyone likes Tracy's ass and those shorts.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
We've been talking about the whole Kevin Spacey situation this week.
Yeah.
And then I just saw that 8 people from the set of House of Cards have come forward and accused him of misconduct during the production of that show. So.
Okay, so not sexual harassment, but misconduct, which maybe is a little bit different, or is it the same?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the details are out yet, but...
Regardless, him being an idiot and...
It just keeps getting worse for Kevin Spacey here. Yeah.
Okay.
Is his career over, do you think? Will we ever see Kevin Spacey cast in another big role? Or will this be so damaging that he's going to have to just go away?
Well, that's a tough call, because he's going to have controversy surrounding him from this point on. We know this. But... Are there certain production companies out there that would say, well, this might help us, so let's put him in another movie? You know, obviously, abide by the rules, maybe have some additional ones with him in any setting where he'd be around other people. That being said, use that as leverage almost to make more money. I know that sounds terrible, but these are the types of things that happen, right? Sometimes people say that it's whatever type of publicity it is still good for you. So,
and Kevin has said he's going to seek treatment.
Right.
Not sure what that looks like for what he's been accused of.
Yes, he's acknowledged that he's in the wrong, and he is seeking treatment right now. So
years down the road, if he comes back and he's like, I'm a changed man, that was, you know, I've changed my ways, that was wrong of me, do you think the public would forgive him, or is he too far gone? Not forgive him, but be willing to go see a movie that he's in again.
I don't know. I feel like people that are experiencing this right now may not forgive him. People who maybe don't remember this controversy down the line, maybe they will, because he is a good actor.
He's got 3 movies coming out still, or 3 movies that are finished, that he's shot. 2 are in post-production, 1 is complete. And one of them, All the Money in the World, is set to be released in December, and the studio says they're going to go ahead with it.
Interesting.
So even though he's one of the main stars of it, they obviously feel that they've invested too much into it, and I wonder if it's going to suffer at the box office.
It's either going to suffer or do really well, again, based on the controversy surrounding it. Because the minute that the trailers are starting to be released for that and they come out to theaters, you know there's going to be people who are protesting and are going to be very upset about it. So is that going to help them? Are people going to see it anyway, being like, I need to see what all this controversy is about? Or is everybody just going to say, we're not supporting a guy who did this?
I don't know. Might vary from individual to individual, right?
Yeah. It's a gamble.
The movie looks damn good, too.
Oh, of course it does.
Like, oh, this is a good movie, but you're greasy.
Just cut him out. Just put a little, like, something on his face. No, it's good.
X92.9.
I was talking to my parents last night, and when I was in Toronto not too long ago, I forgot to tell you about this. This is insane to me. They have a toll highway in Toronto. Did you know that?
Well, I've heard of toll roads, but I've never been on one. There are none around here, I don't think.
No, and the States have tons of them. It's where you like toss a little nickel into the thing and you keep going. There's one in Toronto, though, and it's instead of that, has this thing called a transponder. So when you're driving onto the highway, it beeps a little bit, so it registers your car and knows that you're starting your trip, and then when you leave, it'll register it again, and then it charges you, and you get sent a bill. And so I was like, we should use this. We're running a bit late. Do you mind if we use the toll highway? And my dad was like, oh, yeah, no problem. So after we were done, I was like, well, I'll pay for it. Like, how much is it going to cost? He's like, well, about $40.
What? Just to drive on a road?
$40 friggin'. I looked at him. I'm like, I'm sorry. How much is this going to cost? And it was maybe 20 minutes one way for
That's
$20.
Insane.
Bucks. So it was $40 total for about 40 minutes of driving.
It's more expensive than like a phone sex line.
Oh, my God. It's... Like, again, I'm used to the States where, yeah, you throw in a nickel, maybe it's, I don't know what it is now, let's say even a dollar. It's a little bit different than $40 to use a road.
So is the idea that you're contributing to the construction of that road?
Yeah.
Or is the idea to keep traffic down on that road? Or is it a private highway that somebody built and is trying to profit off it? How does that work?
I'm trying to forget, and there are some issues with it, because I think what happened is it is private, I believe, and they jacked up the prices and they just keep jacking it up to pay for it. And of course, now people are hooked. They use the road. They're making money. And so it's kind of beyond the control, I believe. Either that or they built it, didn't take any money like at the time, and now they're trying to recover the cost of it.
Can you build your own road and then charge people to use it?
I don't know. It needs some approval, right? There's some government approval at some point that happened, and something has gone very wrong with it, though, and the prices just keep getting going up, and now it's up to $40 for...
That's insane.
So
I guess it would be no different than, like, if you own a railroad and you charge companies to use it to transport. I know a girl whose family owns a chunk of railroad. And they're filthy rich.
What?
Because I forget what it costs to use their section of track, but it's insane.
You know those adopt a highway signs?
Yeah.
What's that?
That is a really good question. I say it all the time. Like, oh yeah, I could adopt a highway, but I've never thought about it. How do you adopt a highway?
Like, I don't really want to adopt a child, but adopting a highway would be cool. Like, do I get a birth certificate?
I'm a loving mother of two stretches of road between here and Fort McMurray.
Hey, what did you learn today?
We both learned the same thing. We were just talking about the Adopt a Highway program and how you'll see those signs that you can adopt a highway. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
So it's basically just if a person or a group or an organization or a company volunteers to maintain a certain section of highway and kind of keep it clear of litter.
Oh.
That's all it means. So you just like you take a mile and you just like go out there every once in a while and pick up the garbage.
Okay, because when I see people picking up garbage, especially the ones that have the bright...
Sometimes those are like DUIs and stuff.
Okay, I thought. That's what I assumed. Okay, so it's either
community service.
It's either community service or someone who's adopted a highway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I always wondered, I'll see it all the time on the highway too. It's someone out there picking up garbage. I'm like, are you just doing this because you're a nice person?
I know. I was always like, that just seems crazy to me. Now I get it.
But it's interesting because there have been some real controversies in the States with the Adopt a Highway program because they don't discriminate. Any group can adopt a section of highway. For example, the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, my God.
This has happened a few times. In St. Louis, where else was this? In Georgia.
Although, those signs don't announce who's adopted them. It's not like this highway, or does it?
I think some of them do.
Is this stretch of highway brought to you by the Ku Klux Klan?
Well, it sounds like in some parts of the States that did, because they said the signs were getting vandalized so often. In 2005, the American Nazi Party adopted a stretch of highway in Oregon.
Yeah.
And then this one is really funny. In 2012, in Pittsburgh, a strip club adopted a mile of highway. And it says right here, despite the sponsorship, the program does not send strippers to clean the roads, but rather sends workers from the state paid for by the club to clean the highways.
Hilarious.
So,
although what I would do is I would adopt a stretch of highway leading to the strip club, and then you just have the strippers out there promoting the club. I mean,
you don't need to buy advertising.
No.
You don't need to put up signs.
That's all you need. More of us in here, guys.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.